cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Last week, we chatted to Mark Peters from USB Ed on broadening your product and service offerings and the issues that you need to consider on that. In this first half hour of the business skills conversation in association with USB Ed, we're going to be talking about managing procurement at a national or global level and some of the lessons that can be learnt and things that you need to consider. Joining me via Skype is Dr. Jacques Van Zyl. He's a faculty member at USB Ed. Jacques, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
It's a pleasure, Richard. Thanks for having me here.
Now, I won't tell listeners that I'm sitting in a studio in Johannesburg and you're sitting where? Looking at the sea, probably.
Of course, yes.
PE. sitting looking at the sea in PE. Okay, great. Well, in today's globalized economy, companies are gaining competitive advantage by developing business relationships that are becoming more complex in the world of procurement and supply chains. Now, whilst these relationships can produce gains in productivity and profitability, they often come at the price of taking on additional risk exposure. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. When it comes to procurement and supply chain disruptions, it's no longer a matter of if it happens to you, but perhaps more when it may happen to you when the next incident occurs. So choosing a proactive approach to managing procurement will not only improve your ability to adapt, change, and respond quickly to threats within your business as they arise, but will greatly enhance your overall business. Now, whilst we may not be able to predict the future, you can definitely be better prepared to deal with the unexpected. And I guess that's why we're talking to Jacques today. So, Jacques, just, I mean, when I say the words, you know, procurement management, you know, people often think of procurement and one often wonders, you know, so exactly what is procurement? What does procurement encompass? Can you just give us a kind of a definition of what procurement management is and what are the benefits one hopes to achieve from planning and sourcing in a procurement process?
Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of people confuse procurement by just thinking about the purchasing component thereof, and that used to be sort of the old way of doing things. But nowadays, procurement management as one of the management disciplines, so obviously involving, you know, planning, organizing, and so forth, really is about acquiring goods and services from the outside into the organization. So, you know, it's become a lot more strategic, Richard, and also a heck of a lot more cross-functional in the organization. So much more built on a sort of collaborative model where everybody is involved, everybody has input to optimize. So, of course, in the traditional sense, it involves selecting vendors, establishing payment terms, strategic vetting, selection, negotiation of contracts, and so on. And then, of course, the actual purchasing of the goods. Now, the moment that we talk about a collaborative / strategic approach towards procurement management, of course, immediately what comes to mind is optimization of cost, reduction of cost, and so on. So, of course, looking at upfront cost savings, procuring these items, these services, always at the best price possible. So that is one of the fundamentals, I would say, of procurement management. But also, it's multi-layered. So what companies also need to think about is when they do that initial contracting, the whole issue of warranties and discounts. If it's badly managed, companies lose those sort of cash flows at the back end. Budgeting around these things, making it a lot more visible, as I said, to that. Because the moment we all have insight into the budget and what the budget means and so on, from a sort of interdepartmental view in the organization, we can leverage additional cash flows. I'm just thinking about something that comes to mind with a recent client of ours, just the duplication of ordering or non-bulk ordering because it's so fragmented in the organization. So that all becomes part of the advantages of having a scientific management around procurement. Of course, also, you know, leading to greater efficiencies, efficient sourcing. The more the knowledge in the organization builds up about what suppliers are best practice suppliers, best quality suppliers, then, of course, if that is shared across the organization and it's adopted as practice, it does increase in terms of greater efficiency. We'll most probably talk about some of the risks later, Richard, but definitely being quite aware of the risks in the organization all becomes part of procurement management, so that we can be more proactive about, you know, shortages, economic volatility, if I think about global supply chains, natural disasters, and so on. So it's very broad. A part of that is also innovation. You were talking earlier in your intro about the whole issue of competitive edge, competitive advantage. So if a procurement management element in the organization, or function rather, is based on best practice, it also allows the organization to source innovative product, you know, sort of lower cost product that produces maybe a more superior outcome for the organization. Finally, I just want to touch again on this whole issue of collaboration, you know, which will include strategic collaboration, for example, of large blocks of buyers and large blocks of vendors that could reach preferential sort of agreements with each other, you know, and there we start talking nowadays about focus on total cost of ownership. So the focus should not just be on price, but the total cost of ownership, which could be reduced, you know, if we've got these sort of block negotiations that could happen in terms of lowering that cost for an organization. So finally, most probably, I should also add for you, being a multi-layered function in the organization, we're also looking at demand aggregation, using a lot of metrics, building up metrics about suppliers, about trends, etc., you know, standardization issues, all of that. So it's multi-layered, multi-disciplined region.
Sounds exceptionally complex. And I mean, if I was to kind of contrast this with the traditional, let's call it buying or ordering department of old, it really just shows how the world has moved on in terms of the world of, let's call it, sourcing products that go into your business and then obviously through your business and on out to your client base. So I guess what I'm hearing for you, and if I may interpret it, it's the reality of, in today's modern organization, you need to be ready to deal with all the multitude of challenges and opportunities that are presented. And if you don't have all of these elements well under your belt, you're potentially going to miss a trick or two or three potentially along the way. Now, if I just have a look at, I mean, the basics of procurement, and I just want to take everybody back to some of the basics. I mean, fundamentally, the elements that one needs to consider, and Jacques, I'd like your comments here in terms of just short, you know, basic issues and things that people need to think about on a practical level. The concept that you need to first specify what you're looking for in terms of what you wish to source. And I think often for me, what I see happening out there is almost people taking an approach of, well, let me see what's in the market and then I'll decide what I'm going to buy, rather than saying, well, what's right for my business, what's right for my client segment and the market I'm serving, etc. And that can result in all sorts of, let's call them, nasty little hangovers in terms of not getting the correct thing from a specification perspective to input into your process. What are your experiences on that specification side of the world? What have you seen happening?
You know, ideally, Richard, when I refer, let's just use an example of a mining operation. We often, you will unfortunately find still that procurement is sort of isolated. It's like a little silo operating somewhere on the left flank of the organization. And somehow, you know, collaboration, let's say, for example, between manufacturing and what they need and procurement is not well coordinated. So you often find unstandardized or equipment, etc., arriving on the site, having been shipped across the oceans for 6 weeks to 2 months, you know, just to be found that there's a wrong specification. So, again, what we see in practice quite often is that misalignment between what, let's say, the hardcore, sharp edge of the business needs in terms of that procurement, and then in terms of what actually arrives on the site. So, it should not be always the responsibility of the procurement department or procurement manager, but what is part of that is to develop that collaboration so that the exact specified price, that there's a list being built up of best quality, lowest cost, best supplier, best turnaround supplier, etc. So as you can see, it's not just purely what we need, it's also that collaboration to get what we need. And for that, there's got to be a lot more breaking down of, you know, let's say these silos in the supply chain. Mm.
Now, I mean, obviously identifying, you know, the right supplier is key to all of this. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess you could spend another 2 hours talking to me about identification of the correct supplier. Does it always just come down to the price? Because, I mean, often I think that's what people go, it's a price conversation. Is that a valid element or not?
Well, unfortunately, there's quite a lot of, people in the organization that just focus on that bottom line, you know. So where we can find it the cheapest, that's where we're going to purchase it. But then in the process, unfortunately, quality goes down the sink. So the conversation should be much broader than just the price. The conversation should also be about which suppliers deliver on time, for example, as per specification. And those metrics should form part of, let's say, a dashboard in the organization where through research as well, through talking to other businesses, etc., talking to internal people to build up that intelligence in the organization of who really is the best supplier in terms of a myriad of metrics, not just the price, but the quality, the reliability for after-sale service, etc., etc. That's much broader than just price, Richard.
Mm. And I guess at the ultimate point, it's about selecting and a selection criteria that extends your capability as an organization to actually execute to your customer that ultimately is what counts. And then I guess the final point would be making sure that you manage this relationship with your provider and supplier and making sure that it actually does work in the long term. Now, just a question. I mean, I guess the whole world of, let me call it, know your client has become a watchword in the modern world. But I guess from what I'm hearing, it's quite important for you to know who your suppliers are and asking the right questions about your suppliers. Just take me through, you know, what that, maybe, you know, 5 minutes conversation on how do you actually probe into a supplier and know what to do. What's a global best practice there? What can you learn about a supplier engagement from that perspective?
Yeah, you know, for me, there are like three key words that come up when I think about that conversation. And the one, of course, seems obvious, but it's due diligence, right? Checking, background checking. You know, the second word that comes to mind here is all auditing, and the third one would be the dashboard that includes the metrics. So you have to do your research, Richard. I mean, there are many sources apart from building up that organizational knowledge over a period of time by, you know, making it your job to document the behaviors of suppliers, to document the risks that some of them pose, to document suppliers that don't deliver, that researching, for example, if you could, their financials, picking up on their liquidities, etc., things that'll show you a supplier, for example, is very thinly spread. You got to use your business sense. Are these people who they say they are? Checking company registration records, asking for for testimonial of other clients, talking to other businesses that also purchase from these suppliers. You've got to build up quite a lot of intelligence around these people because there's quite a lot of fraud out there. And not just fraud, I mean, times are tough. So, you know, the whole issue of suppliers wanting to deliver, let's say, bad quality, not on time, you know, to protect their own cash flows, etc., overcharging for goods, you know, if that is documented that there is a specific supplier doing that, that helps you to build up knowledge you know, with regards to knowing your customer and who they are. And then, of course, and you mentioned it in your conversation just now, a best practice is to often engage with your suppliers, have conversations with them, officially, non-officially, calling them to arms, if you may, in terms of their own ethical practices, you know, asking specific questions about their practices, checking with if they are first-tier supplier, checking with those second-tier suppliers that are basically the supplier of your suppliers, finding out about those behaviors. You really have to build up a lot of organizational intelligence. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you know, you're talking there about knowledge and understanding. I mean, I guess you can almost apply the same sort of principles that you would do in a, let's call it that KYC, you know, your client kind of process, where you just document well. And it sounds like we're getting further and further into the world of proper frameworks around both, you know, procurement and sales, but it just shows how the integration of our business processes. You know, before you only worried about your world and what was going on inside your world as a business and your processes and procedures and what needed to be done. But fundamentally, I think, you know, we've moved to a different level now where you have to almost be accountable for what happens before your organization and well after it. So, you know, what your suppliers look like and what your clients are doing with your product and what they're doing. An extension of the value chain.
Very true. Hence, I keep on hammering on this collaboration thing. I think we're still caught in a sort of an archaic view, even of those who compete with us and buy from the same suppliers, you know, and we don't share information. And hence, you get a lot of companies that will suffer, you know, from the inadequacy from the same a supplier and not catching, you know, that supplier out because we don't share. Mm. So collaboration is very important.
Yeah, that's always critical. That's always critical. So, I mean, how does one go about uncovering latent risks and vulnerabilities in this now extended supply chain? And I guess this is where my question of, let's call it the national and/global environment, because, you know, when I looked at this topic and I thought to myself, the reality is we've now gone global with the way we do things. You know, we don't buy just for our office, or we've gone, I guess, national and global. So we don't just buy for our office; we buy for the country. We buy, we source goods internationally and globally, and then compile them and put them together in a production process locally. You know, this comes from China, that comes from Brazil, this comes from Cape Town, and we put it all together in Joburg and ship it to our client base. So, I mean, how do you go about uncovering those latent risks and vulnerabilities in that extended supply chain? And I mean, I'm talking here the vulnerabilities of something breaking down, quality, these kind of things. What are the things that we should be thinking about and considering?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if we take a very broad view, firstly, on that topic, and you're quite right about the global world. I mean, BRICS, we can't even think of the effect that that's going to have on our supply chains into South Africa. But just think, you know, from a very broad perspective, the whole issue of foreign regulations, the issues of global customs, port congestions, political, economic instability, exchange rate volatilities, etc. So from a very broad perspective, from a risk awareness perspective, organizations, you know, should take a very broad view of all those macro elements and how they might affect their supply chain, especially, you know, if it's heavily reliant on imports and, you know, from which country do we import and so forth. So much, much broader view. But in the final analysis, if you bring it closer to home, and I want to again reiterate the point, it's really about managing those first-tier suppliers that you have, whether they're on a national or on a global level. And again, there, Richard, you know, to limit your exposure, to limit your risks, you need to have conversations with these people and ask them specific questions. For example, you know, forecast sharing with suppliers, for example, if I think on a global level, most of these companies are large conglomerates. They, of course, you know, have their own intelligence on macroeconomics and so on. Ask them, share with them. For example, if they have tier two suppliers supplying into them, I'm thinking about large manufacturing, one has to ask them the question, what do you know about your tier two? What do you know about, for example, their finishing of work in progress in our particular area and so on? What about the inventory? What about their raw materials? What about their access to capital? The rates of borrowing, all of those things you have to sort of, and if I say confront, I don't mean in an aggressive manner, but these are issues that have to be put on the table between the buyer and the first tier supplier, because in the end you want to almost devolve the control, because that's the huge issue here. The less control we have, the higher the risk becomes. So we almost want to devolve that control to first tier and say, you speak to second and third tier suppliers and you manage them, and we will measure you in terms of all of that. So it becomes a much more, let's say, vigilant way in a procurement management to manage that. You also need to ask questions such as your code of conduct, you know, in terms of a supplier. What about information? What about insurance, certifications? You know, geographically, where are you operating at? What are the risks there, etc.? So it's, again, building up a serious risk profile in terms of those first-tier suppliers to reduce that volatility, to reduce the risk. So, again, I'm coming back to the point, we have to also measure them. And, in measuring them, we will build up most probably trends, etc., that'll help us to forecast the risk, because that's the whole issue, is to gain as much control as we possibly can. And my final word on this will be, we cannot do that without asking, talking to people, and you were pointing that out, engaging them in a structured manner and documenting, so that we can build up enough metrics so that we can project most probably what's going to happen into the future. But you're quite right, Richard. It's not a question on or if, you know, some of these volatilities will hit us. It's about when.
Mm. And I guess, I mean, my final question would go to the whole question of, let's call it supply chain continuity, resilience strategy. I mean, what are you, I mean, you've spoken now quite openly to say, you know, you need to look at all of these elements, document them clearly. What has been your experience as the best way to create resilience in these, let's call them global chains of supply? What are some of the like key things that people can just throw out some ideas that people can be thinking about to make sure that they are resilient?
Yeah, it's four things that really come to mind. The one is visibility. You know, you've got to monitor the events in your supply chain, the patterns as they happen, and because that'll make you a bit more proactive and less reactive. So visibility, very important. Be there, watch, ask, measure, interpret. Then flexibility, of course, you have to be able to adapt to those problems without significantly increasing your operational costs. And you have to make timely adjustments that limit that impact. And there, especially your larger companies, Richard, we could look at scenarios. I mean, that becomes part for me of the whole thing that I said in the beginning about we need to become more strategic about procurement management. So flexibility, very important. Collaboration, I spoke about that. Having trust relations with the fellow competitors in the world, speaking to large suppliers in your particular sector, and sharing sort of best practice and knowledge around the risks and how to avoid the disruption. So again, coming back to, you know, building scenarios with your collaborative partners. And then finally, and I spoke about that, control. You have to have policies, monitoring capabilities, control mechanisms, processes, procedure, you know, that are followed. So as far as it's in your own control, you should try and reduce and mitigate as far as possible. But yeah, you know, my final point on that would be they, you know, especially larger companies should have a dedicated supply chain risk management team that can help build that robust and resilient supply chain, you know, because if you've got dedicated people monitoring stuff on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, and reporting back into execs and you know, strategic decision makers in the organization, I think you're on a good path. And but it's an awareness, you know, if companies don't take that up and they still just view it as, oh, you're purchasing, and not really the strategic element of procurement management, they're going to miss that boat.
Mm. Well, that was Dr. Jacques Vincel, our guest for today. Jacques, thank you very, very much for your insights. I think the world of procurement is definitely becoming far more complex, far more competitive. And I think I could, as my final parting comment, make the statement that procurement is now part of your competitive advantage in a business. And if you're not focused and able to execute effectively and efficiently in your procurement environment, you're going to face a challenge in a business. So, Jacques, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Richard.
Next up, we'll get a little bit more practical with our SME development conversation. CliffCentral.com.